I suppose there's a time in practically every young boy's life when he's affected by that wonderful disease of puppy love. I don't mean the kind a boy has for the pretty little girl that lives down the road. I mean the real kind. The kind that has four small feet and a wiggly tail and sharp little teeth that can gnaw on a boy's finger. The kind a boy can romp and play with, even eat and sleep with. I was 10 years old when I first became infected with this terrible disease. I'm sure no boy in the world had it worse than I did. It's not easy for a young boy to want a dog and not be able to have one. It starts gnawing on his heart and gets all mixed up in his dreams. It gets worse and worse until finally it becomes almost unbearable. If my dog wanting had been that of an ordinary boy, I'm sure my mother and father would have gotten me a puppy. But my wants were different. I didn't want just one dog. I wanted two. And not just any kind of dog. They had to be a special kind and a special breed. I had to have some dogs. I went to my father and had a talk with him. He scratched his head and thought it over. "Well, Billy," he said, "I heard that old man Hatfield's collies is going to have pups. I'm sure I can get one of them for you." He may as well have poured cold water on me. "Papa," I said, "I don't want an old collie dog. I want hounds, coon hounds, and I want two of them." I could tell by the look on his face that he wanted to help me but couldn't. He said, "Billy, those kind of dogs cost money, and that's something we don't have right now. Maybe someday when we can afford it you can have them, but not right now." I didn't give up. After my talk with Papa, I went to Mama. I fared no better there. Right off, she said I was too young to be hunting with hounds. Besides, a hunter needed a gun, and that was one thing I couldn't have, not until I was 21, anyway. I couldn't understand it. There I was, sitting right in the middle of the finest hunting country in the world, and I didn't even have a dog. Our home was in a beautiful valley far back in the rugged Ozarks. The country was new and sparsely settled. The land we lived on was Cherokee land, allotted to my mother because of the Cherokee blood that flowed in her veins. It lay in a strip from the foothills of the mountains to the banks of the Illinois River in northeastern Oklahoma. The land was rich, black, and fertile. Papa said it would grow hair on a cross-cut saw. He was the first man to stick the cold steel point of a turning plow into the virgin soil. Mama had picked the spot for our log house. It nestled at the edge of the foothills in the mouth of a small canyon, and was surrounded by a grove of huge red oaks. Behind our house, one could see miles and miles of the mighty Ozarks. In the spring, the aromatic scent of wildflowers, red buds, pawpaws, and dogwoods drifting on the wind currents spread over the valley and around our home. Below our fields, twisting and winding, ran the clear blue waters of the Illinois River. The banks were cool and shady. The rich bottomland near the river was studded with tall sycamores, birches, and box elders. To a 10-year-old country boy, it was the most beautiful place in the whole wide world, and I took advantage of it all. I roamed the hills and the river bottoms. I knew every game trail in the thick cane brakes and every animal track that was pressed in the mud along the river banks. The ones that fascinated me the most were the baby-like tracks of a river coon. I'd lie for hours examining them. Before leaving, I'd take a switch and sweep them all away. These I called my trail looks. The next day I'd hurry back, and sure enough, 9 times out of 10, there in the clean-swept ground, I would again find the tracks of a ringtail coon. I knew he had passed over the trail during the night. I could close my eyes and almost see him, humped up and waddling along, fishing under the banks with his delicate little paws for crawfish, frogs, and minnows. I was a hunter from the time I could walk. I caught lizards on the rail fences, rats in the corn crib, and frogs in the little creek that ran through the fields. I was a young Daniel Boone. As the days passed, the dog-wanting disease grew worse. I began to see dogs in my sleep. I went back to my father and mother. It was the same old story. Good hounds cost money, and they just didn't have it. My dog-wanting became so bad, I began to lose weight, and my food didn't taste good anymore. Mama noticed this, and she had a talk with Papa. "You're going to have to do something," she said. "I never saw a boy grieve like that. It's not right. Not right at all." "I know," said Papa, "and I feel just as badly as you do, but what can I do? You know we don't have that kind of money."
"I don't care," said Mama. "You've got to do something. I can't stand to see him cry like that."
Besides, he's getting to be a problem. I can't get my work done. He follows me around all day long, begging for hounds.
I offered to get him a dog, said Papa, but he doesn't want just any kind of dog. He wants hounds, and they cost money. Do you know what the Parker boys paid for those two hounds they bought? $75. If I had that much money, I'd buy another mule. I sure do need one.
I had overheard this conversation from another room. At first it made me feel pretty good. At least I was getting to be a problem. Then I didn't feel so good. I knew my mother and father were poor and didn't have any money. I began to feel sorry for them and myself. After thinking it over, I figured out a way to help. Even though it was a great sacrifice, I told Papa I had decided I didn't want two hounds. One would be enough. I saw the hurt in his eyes. It made me feel like someone was squeezing water out of my heart. Papa set me on his lap, and we had a good talk. He told me how hard times were, and that it looked like a man couldn't get a fair price for anything he raised. Some of the farmers had quit farming and were cutting railroad ties so they could feed their families. If things didn't get better, that's what he'd have to do. He said he'd give anything if he could get some good hounds for me, but there didn't seem to be any way he could right then. I went off to bed with my heart all torn up in little pieces and cried myself to sleep.